Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the Bloody Legends with Jai, that Aussie metal guy, and Jim Taylor. Make sure you're a bloody legend and hit that like and subscribe so you can keep up to date with all the great content from these bloody legends. G'day. Hey, how are you all going? It is time for another edition of the Bloody Legends with myself, Jai, that Aussie metal guy, and my awesome, ever-reliable co-host, Jim Taylor. Cheers for joining me,
brother?
Jim. I'm good, brother.
Indeed, sir.
Thank you very much. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Brandon Mendenhall of the Mendenhall Experience. Brendan, thank you so much for joining me, my friend.
What's up, guys? Happy to be here.
Sir.
Absolute pleasure.
We're honored to have you, brother.
Yeah, dude. Absolute pleasure. Jim, you hit off for the first question, dude, if you like, my friend.
Oh, wow. I'm teeing off tonight.
Usually me. Yeah, you go.
I, Brandon, your style. First off, you're an incredible guitarist, and let's start with influences. Who did it for you that made you pick up an instrument?
Yeah, bands like Korn and Pantera, Nine Inch Nails, like those are ever like my holy trinity. And then like you know the early Web Zombie stuff, Rob Zombie, how he incorporated all the mod stuff. I'm a big horror movie fan, so like, I used to really grab with that stuff as a kid.
So
that's awesome.
It is. What is also awesome, Brandon, is I was watching a bit of your story with the documentary Mind Over Matter and finding out a little bit more about your story and how you kind of picked up guitar and started it, man. It was very, very inspiring, man. And for those that haven't seen it yet, please go out and check it out. But would you mind telling us a little bit about kind of your journey and how this started for you? Because it is really, really inspiring journey and what you've overcome to kind of where you are today.
So, yeah, like in short, I was born into the Midwestern part of the country, south of Chicago, Illinois, and I was born with cerebral palsy. And for those that aren't familiar with what cerebral palsy is, it's a neuromuscular disorder disease that, in my case, I contracted it at birth due to lack of oxygen when I was born. So my body went into this kind of stroke kind of state. And that's where the cerebral palsy was a side effect of that, pretty much. So in my case, it affects the left side of my body. So if you think in terms of guitarists, you know, your left hand, if you're a right-handed player, your left hand is where you do all your chords and your notation stuff, right? So when I was younger, because of my disability, everybody told me, oh, I'd never really have an opportunity to do or achieve much at all in life, let alone be a musician with his own rock band with a personal message. You know?
That's amazing.
So what was that like, learning to play guitar? Because I've seen kind of the... you know, as we were saying, I won't give too much away, but as you come home, it was kind of things would change. It was a very, very different generation than compared to now. It kind of would have been very, very tough, I suppose, for you at that time. And I think music would have been a huge crutch for you to kind of lean in and kind of help you as well, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I always tell people that I believe music is. It is. It's a form of therapy, and that's why it resonates with people of all different kind of backgrounds and ethnicities, like all over the world, because it becomes the common language that connects us all together. And for a lot of people like myself, it's therapy, you know. And like you said, the climate now, as opposed to the climate when I was growing up, it's different. There's more inclusion. There's more acceptance now, but when I was growing up, it was pretty black and white. It was pretty brutal. It was like just, you know, don't look at him, don't interact with him because you don't want to insult him, but that kind of just made me an outsider, and people like my disabilities, we were kind of pushed to the side.
Yeah, I'm glad everything's changed. And I was having this conversation the other day that how accepting the metal community is, and that's why it's kind of we have that skull, because regardless, there is no color, there is no ethnicity, there is no male, female. It's just this heavy metal skull, horns out, and that's something that I've been very proud of with the metal community, being accepting all the way through, you know, from the early artists kind of laying these roots, like people like artists like Judas Priest making a stand and other people with disabilities coming out. And, you know, Judas Priest being a gay artist at the time was, you know, huge at the time, and the metal community just accepted him. And same with all these other artists, and that's something I've been very, very proud of as a metalhead myself.
Well, the metal community has always, first and foremost, been a community of that, like, you know, the unwanted toys, so to speak. So, I mean, it's that the metal community would embrace people like Hellfood, and people like myself, you know, that are, you know, being ourselves but seeking acceptance from others.
Yeah, a couple more things on the disability side of things, because I've got a hidden disability myself, but it's really great to see how far the community has come with supporting disabled people. But there are still avenues that kind of need to be improved in places like venues and that. How do you feel about that kind of thing, dude? Just quickly, man, because I've noticed it myself more so now going to these venues. I've really got to start thinking about what the venue is like as well.
Oh man, I've noticed it a lot over the past 2 weeks. We just came off the Stamper Assault Tour with Scream at the Sky. We started in Buffalo, New York, and we ended in Texas on Saturday night here. And like an extra caveat to my story right now is normally I walk on assisted, my cerebral palsy, like, I always have a limp, and I've kind of marketed on guys like limping easy, you know, tongue in cheek, making, you know, lightheartedness out of it. But before I left with this tour, my bass player and I were part of a local bowling league. Like, I injured myself. I pulled like my groin muscle. So I've been down for like 6 years. And I can't walk. I've got a walker. So I'm like, I did the entire tour using a walker. And my band had to help me in and out of these venues and up and down, on and off these different stages. And like, I very quickly came accustomed to like, or attuned to what venues were ADA compliant. And what venues weren't, you know, because when you're stuck in that situation, you're like, yeah, this isn't very disability friendly, now, is it?
No, I've noticed that too. With I kind of finally went to my first gig post the surgeries that have put everything in place for me. And that was one of the big things for me as well, going to these gigs, making sure there's disabled access, and then also using disabled facilities as well. When all the able-bodied people are lining up at the disabled facilities, I was like, dude, come on, people.
And I concur, man, like, especially with all these truck stops that we would go to, like, after the gigs and stuff. Like, some of the restrooms were, like, that small. I could barely get the walker in. I'm like, dude.
Right.
I couldn't imagine people in a wheelchair. They'd have a really hard time.
They would.
Did you mention your disability? What did you say your disability was?
Multiple surgeries for cancer last year, and I've got an ileostomy in at the moment as well, so it kind of makes things really hard as well.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Let's come back to guitar, Brandon. So tell me a little bit about your journey with guitar. Tell me about, like, kind of when it started getting serious for you, when you said, you know, I want to take this further. I'm comfortable with where I'm going. Tell me a little bit about those kind of first initial steps for you and starting the Mendenhall experiment.
Yeah.
I think me, it's like, as a kid growing up, like everybody goes through that phase of their life where they're like, okay, what do you want to do in life? What do you want to be? And it kind of always, when I was a kid, everything that I wanted to do came down to like physicality, like either playing sports or like, I wanted to be a firefighter. That's heavily physical. And NHL, I was obsessed with hockey when I was in the like BMX for a long time. And just a bunch of different physical caveats. And then I got, no, you can't do it. Your body's not built for it. And to be fair, it wasn't. But, you don't like to be told no when you're a kid. You're like, I can do anything, right? So when it came to color, once I found it, I kind of dug my feet in and I was like, nope, I'm doing this no matter what I have to go through or what I have to do to be successful at this. This is what I want. And I kind of knew that and I stuck to it. And like, as I progressed along, things got really serious for me, like with the guitar. Once I was out here or out in Los Angeles where I live now, and everything kind of fell away from me from the recording industry because I wanted to make records first and I was interning at studios in Hollywood. That kind of fell apart for me. And I turned the page and went back to guitar. And I was like, okay, I want to take this seriously as a career and do it. And really, it all kind of took shape for me when I figured out like my style of playing. When I figured out I could drop tune the guitar to like a drop tune and play the one finger kind of bar chords or slack chords, some people call it. That opened up movement for me creatively so that I could write songs. And once I could put my creative effort into songwriting, coupled with the production knowledge that I gained from going to college for all that, that's when things really took shape. And then I was like, well, I want to do something really positive. So I took my story and my plight of having a disability and said, well, I want to help other people and raise disability awareness with it. And that's where the name came from. The Mendenhall Experiment. It was a literal experiment. Like, can the guy with cerebral palsy create a band and then elevate that band to a national level of success? Which
Dude,
I
and
think
you have.
that, but now it's, continuing to push the bar higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, if you can
I mean
reach,
the
you go, Jim.
No. If you can reach, go ahead.
Yeah, if you can reach, at least one person with a disability and make them see that it's okay, you can chase your dreams instead of where you had, growing up where people were like, no, you can't do that, Brandon. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that because of your disability. Now it's coming around where it's like, yes, you can do it. If you want to do it, go for it, grab it. And is that kind of a little bit of the message you're kind of pushing across too as well?
And that's exactly it. And it's just using my story as an example and a precedent for other people in the disabled community or those affected by people in the disabled community. Like, you can do it. You can be artistically expressive. Like, you can follow your dreams. Because look at all the hardships and everything that I went through, but look what I've built. And it's given my story and what we do musically has given a whole like region of people like new hope. And that's really what it's about. Like what you were saying was, if I could inspire one person to go after it. And I always said that too. Like, if I just inspired one person, it would be all worth it, right? But now I can say I've inspired like hundreds of people. I have so many testimonials from kids with disabilities that will hit me up on social media and go, dude, I play guitar because of you.
Dude,
I'm so humbled by that. Being better, man. And all I can say is thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being yourself and going for it.
Exactly.
That's just.
It's amazing, isn't it? So tell us a little bit about kind of your breakthrough. You kind of, you know, you had the Battle of the Bands at the Warped Tour and it kind of started to kind of really roll into things there. And you're talking about your influences earlier on and then you end up working with James Monkey as well.
You've got Monkey.
Danny Lohner.
Chris Garza, man.
Yeah, Chris Garza, dude. Some of these people,
big
no doubt,
you
grew up
dude.
Listening to. And then you're like, man, I get to work with these people and learn off
That's
them as well.
That's like you said, you said the most important thing. I get to learn from these people. And that's exactly what I did. That's exactly the mindset that I took into each one of those speech recording sessions where I got to work with Monkey and then I got to work with Danny and then, you know, most recently Chris Goza. Me and Chris are like best friends, dude. Like, that dude's my homie. We're close. Like, on a musical level, it was like, how can I tap in to his skill set? What can I learn from him? You know, guys, that we saw that movie, the documentary, It Might Get Loud with Jack Black.
Yes.
Not Jack Black, but guy. Right? Jack White, sorry.
Jack White, Jack called. White, yeah. wrong pigment.
Jack White, he's in a limo in New York City and he's headed to a soundstage to jam with Jimmy Page and who was the other guy that was in on that session? I don't remember. It was Page and someone else. Maybe? I don't know. It was another big name, like guitarist. And he goes, I'm going to go in there and steal all these guys' secrets. I'm going to get them to teach me what they did to be who they are. And that's kind of like the mentality of getting to work with somebody that I admire like that. And it's been cool, man. I mean, that's what you dream of. As a kid, you know, that's why I got into this was like, I want to work with my heroes and have that level of respect.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
And that's the thing; these people, they're just down to earth people. Like you sit here, and I've had the opportunity to interview a couple of people that were my heroes as well, and they're just the metal community is such an open, loving, arms out community. Like I found some long lost family and a long lost second cousin. He's like, you're not at all what I'd expected because we're just so open as well.
We're just cool, regular, everyday, like down to earth people. And like, that's what you just come to realize once you go through this three ring circus that we call the music industry. You just realize. Just like us, they've just got different levels of success. I think one of the most validating things for me is like getting to work with on the sessions and seeing how these different Grammy winning artists have how they write and how they create. You get a lot of that, or at least I get a lot of validation that the way that I come up with things and my processes really are not that far off from how they create.
I was going to say that probably challenges them a little bit. Be like, whoa, I didn't think of it that way. That's something new you taught them. So like it's Dutch door action, you know? That's great.
That's what I think as well.
There's a section, a scene in a movie, Mind Over Matter, when we're in the studio and like Monkey and I are recording our song Prosthetic together live in the
Great
studio
tune.
with our producer, Chris, on drums. And there's a section we got to the bridge part, and Monkey was like, I don't know what to do here. And I kind of like took the reins and I was like, dude, you should come in and do like the classic off the wall, weird, creepy, like corn sounds from like the first two records, like the really scary sounding guitar melody. I was like,
and you can
that's
hear
what
it.
I can hear.
Yeah.
And when that happened, everybody in the studio like sat back in their seats and they were like stunned that like for that moment the roles reversed and I took the reins, and nobody could believe that who's this kid working with his hero of heroes and he's run the show. Nobody could believe it. I kind of been, I surprised myself with that one, I think. It was just,
it's
I
a
knew
good
what
feeling.
I knew what I wanted and I went for it, and I feel like there's something to be said in that whole process.
Yeah, there's definitely a
awesome.
Respect and a give and take in that point as well. And you can just see what a down to earth, humble guy he is as well. To be able to take those ideas on board and run with it as well. Tell us a little bit about that first EP, that self-titled EP, because it was a really cool EP, but also you had that first vocalist and you've kind of switched up vocalists to Alice now, which is I'll jump into as well after.
Yeah.
We started the self-titled EP and we had our dude Mario Valadez on vocal. And, you know, a lot of those songs are just, you know, they always say you got your whole life to write your first record. You know, a lot of that stuff I'd been riff wise, I'd been compiling for years, you know, and I just finally got it to a point where we were able to go in the studio with Chris Collier, the producer, and make
Worked with him
record.
Too, man. He's the man.
Yeah, Jim's worked with him. He's worked with some amazing artists. Chris Collier, geez, when you as soon as you mentioned him, I'm like, I've heard that name before, dude.
Like, hell yeah, dude.
Bro, Collier is like the sixth member of the Mendenhall Experiment. And that's no bullshit.
That's cool.
Like, he understands me as a guitarist, and he understands the sound of the band, what I want to accomplish writing wise, and where the direction needs to go, but he takes it that extra step, and he knows how much he can push me as a guitarist outside of my comfort zone to make me a better musician. And he's done that in every progression of the band. So I expect him to do that again on this next set of recordings that will. Hopefully, we'll hit the studio with them again in 2025 sometime.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Do have some forthcoming stuff there. As I alluded to with Alice coming in, fast forward to 2022, you kind of step up again in the sound. Is that Against All Odds EP is an absolute beast of an EP, and Alice's vocals on there are really, really
killer.
Good, man. Yeah, unreal, dude. And then that latest single as well, Bury Your Casket, that came out last
Bury
year
casket,
as well.
Yeah.
It kind of has me all excited for what is to come for the Mendenhall Experiment. But before we get there, tell us about the Against All Odds EP and the Bury Your Casket single.
For sure.
Well, like, you kind of went into it perfectly. I think the difference between the self-titled record and Against All Odds is that, like, two major things, right? Like, the song structure and the song production, the songwriting, we took that to the next level. Like, I feel like musically, the songs are more advanced, they're a little more technical, they have a little bit more meat and potatoes to them, rather than just a straight chunky rock EP like we gave you on the foot record. We wanted to, you know, really step up and see if we can broaden our horizons a little bit. But we also had a lot to prove with that record. And I think that's where the title comes in, against a lot, because like we did the first EP, we had the Monkey feature on it, which was awesome. We have Danny Mother feature on it. He did the intro and the outro. So he's on the very beginning of a record, and then he closes the end of Find a Way song on the album. And then for the next record, we knew we wanted to not only step it up, but the first record kind of accompanied the movie and the whole unveiling and rolling out of my story to the public. And then after that, you know, we got all this press. We were in Metal Hammer and like Revolver and,
nice.
You know, all kind of Metal Injection, Loudwire, all these crazy publications. And after that, it's like, I kind of felt like personally, like the industry didn't expect us to do another record. Like, I kind of, like, it was like, oh, his story's cute. And all these guys, you know, they stepped in to help him out. But, like, nobody really thought that we were going to come correct with the second album. And then with Mario Fall Away, long story short, Mario had a family. And he had to step away and be dad.
Yep.
And we were okay. But we're like, dude, we got to move forward. And rather than grab another male vocalist and try and replicate what he created, I was like, let's grab a female. Let's bring in Elise and do something different but elevate. It was all about elevation, but it was also like, we kind of had the cards stacked against us. Like, nobody thought we were going to come correct with a second record. And then, you know, then we changed vocalists. So it's like,
You knew you were going to come out with another record. You knew what you were doing from the get-go. It's something you've probably, I'm saying that like, you know, but you know within yourself was something you've dreamt about and wanted to fight and strive for.
Right.
So the one record thing was never going to fly. And did that kind of put a fire in your belly, knowing that some of these people are like, oh, this is a cutesy little story, Brandon, and overcoming disability and playing guitar, and you're like, fuck you guys! I'm gonna be doing more than exactly, dude. I'm gonna be showing you guys, and that's the thing. Like with this Against All Odds EP, I know that she's working on something else as well, which I'm super excited about hearing. Because as you mentioned, Elise having that not trying to do a carbon copy of what you were doing before, stepping it up as well, going, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep stepping this up, and we're going to be fucking here, and we're going to be playing shows, and we're going to be kicking ass. So fuck you and your cutesy little story.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. My overall statement is that, like, we're here, we've established ourselves, and we're fucking here to stay. Like, that's it. And, like, I'm just not going to do one record documentary and disappear into the ether. I don't care if I have to change my band members 15 more times. The Mental Health Experiment is going to stand and stand alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it does.
It's your beast. It's your story, you know?
If you brought up the skull, and I'm sure you're aware of, like, the skull is like our main logo, but it's kind of a symbolism of like unity in the metal community, but also like all
right
of
there.
The stuff and everything I've kind of struggled through to overcome, but the skull reminds, you know, what I've been through, the hell I've been through, and the things that I've gone through to pursue this, you know?
I see it as a sense of like unity. Yeah, there we go. You know, we're all the same. We're the same structure underneath, man. You know, yeah.
My...
We all, yeah, dude. Ah, oh, what? It's like Wonder Twin powers activate.
So
That's cool.
I know you guys do have some stuff, and you're not kind of sure when it's releasing. Because I know you're pretty keen to get it out. And I know you can't mention when it's releasing, because that's the hardest thing, probably working with labels. If it was you, you'd
Like,
be like, "Here's my song,
oh,
here's my song, here's my song."
right.
Well, there's nothing that I would be leaking to you at this point, because the next single of the forthcoming EP, we've got a forthcoming EP. I can give you the name. It's called
Chasing
Chase
Goat.
and Go, and it'll be out sometime in hopefully the summer. I'm
Okay.
hoping it doesn't push back to 2025. We have a little bit of a production setback. One of the final songs that has a feature on it needs to be remixed, and Chris is in the studio working with bands that I shouldn't name. So he's gonna be available until like May or June to mix down that song. So we're like, okay, cool, we'll put out the first single. And that was saying it was supposed to come out on the 12th, and we went through PR and everything, and everything was set to go. And the label pulled the plug at the last second. They put it on hold. So right now, I don't have a
Damn.
clarification for you guys as to when it's coming out. I just know it's coming out soon.
You could really screw with
Good.
them, Brendan. I've chatted. I know a couple of guys. I'm gonna have to mention my favorite Canuck, Matt Hancock. You could be like, yeah, okay, then you wait to release that album. I'm gonna have the next five, six albums written, ready to fucking go by the
Right.
time you're ready to release
That's right.
that one.
It's industry politics, and this one was completely out of our hands,
It
and
is.
we're like, no.
Wow.
So, like, we were like, dude, we're on tour, so now we have nothing new to promote while we're on tour. Like, what the fuck? Apparently.
What was the tour like, man? That was a pretty decent
Yeah.
tour you were just on as well. How'd that go?
The tour was good. I mean, we signed on with Satellite Touring like 6 months ago or something like that, and they've been really
Oh,
good.
nice.
Forward
Scream of the
getting
sky. Scream at the
screen.
sky.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's
Bigger
killer
option.
album.
Yeah.
I want
We
that. That's a good looking shirt too, by the way.
went out with Scream of the Sky, and those guys are super fun dudes, man. They like to party, they
Right.
like to hang out. Have a good, positive, upbeat time on the road. It was nothing but fun for like 2.5 weeks.
Awesome.
And the shows were good.
That's sweet.
So that's the number one thing. It's like the shows have to be good and the vibe has to be good. If you have those two things
Right.
on the road, you can't lose.
And people need to
Exactly.
buy lots of merch at said shows as well.
Yeah, we've got tons of stuff with
Excellent.
Skull. So. Don't get it.
Where's the best place
Absolutely.
people can head along and kind of support the Mendenhall experiment, mate?
Mendenhallexperiment.com.
Nice.
And
Awesome.
for all people that haven't seen Mind Over Matter, I know it is on YouTube for rent. You can go to SumerianFilms.com. There is a Mind Over Matter tab on that Sumerian website. You can buy
Okay.
physical film. I think you can even rent it digitally from there. It'll send you via link to where you can watch it. If you want to watch it for free, go check it out on Crackle. You know, it was on in the States, but now they put it on in Europe. So it will cycle back around to the States, but right now it's on YouTube for rent. You can get it off of the website, and if you want to watch it for free, hit up Crackle.
Yeah, that's it. YouTube here in Australia is pretty odd. Jumped over there as well. I think it's like $6, $7 to rent it and $10 to buy it. So just go bloody buy it, people. It's a
Yeah,
killer
right, exactly.
documentary and very, very inspiring.
That where you guys are based out of?
I'm out of Australia. Jim's US.
Yeah.
Where are you
Yeah,
based?
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Okay, so you in PA
Yep.
and you in us. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It's
You guys
crazy.
have
What was that there, Brandon? Sorry.
Yeah, say it
Are
again.
we getting lag?
Just a
We had a
little.
little lag. Yeah.
I said, do you guys have up the time schedules?
Yeah, we
Oh,
do it around
yeah.
now. We do it around now. It kind of works out all right. I actually met Jim doing an interview with him, Brandon, through Shauna. Set it up because Shauna represents Jim and his band there with Lenny and that as well, the band that Jim's in. So that's how I met Jim as well. Kind of he yeah, and
Indeed.
we've done a couple of interviews and then we ended up
Yeah.
doing this
Two
podcast as
years
well.
ago. 2 years ago, as of, in fact, I think yesterday was the first interview you did with me and Lenny. And then a year after that, he and I started this podcast. So or I joined, I'm sorry, as this in
No,
what do we call it?
we started this new
Incarnation.
incantation. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
this
awesome.
in yeah.
And
So
what band are you in?
it's a band called well we're called Lenny, Lenne. But he and I have a few projects together. But
Nice.
we are on we're on Imagine Records. We work with, shout out to the boss, Mr. Morgan Rose from Seven Dust.
Oh,
So
sick.
we're yeah.
So I guess I'll drop this little tidbit thing
Yes, sir.
since you're associated with Mr. Rose over there. So
Yeah.
Morgan just signed my homies in Dirty Machine from. Well, I guess Dave lives in Missouri now, but he was,
Yeah.
like myself, signed Dirty Machine, and Dave came on. And that's the feature we're waiting on. Is Dave David Leitch is gonna feature on my last song on my forthcoming EP. He
Okay.
already did. He's waiting for it to be mixed.
Okay.
So
We and we
hopefully
worked
we'll.
with the same. That's crazy, dude. What a small world.
It is.
I know, right? And
And
shout out to Shauna for hooking it all up. I love her.
Shauna, we
Yes,
trust, man.
that's
Absolutely.
it. And we'll leave it at that. Last word, shout outs, thank yous, Brandon. Anything you'd like to put in there, my friend?
For sure. Thank you guys, man. Thank you guys for taking the time and learning a little bit more about what I'm about, what we're doing, and what we have coming out.
Absolute pleasure. Hopefully get you
Thank
later in the
you,
year and we'll
brother.
talk more about the forthcoming EP. Brandon, thank you so very much, mate. You have an awesome day.
Looking forward to it, guys. Take care.
Cheers, brother.
Sir.